As we continue in our series entitled Strength, the title of today's message is The Risk of Strength. The Risk of Strength. In life, when we are unwilling to risk, we are unwilling to gain. Now, I want you to think about that word that sometimes scares us. But the word risk, if we have no desire to risk, then we will not gain. And if we do not risk, we will not gain in strength. You saw that image of that weightlifter that was leaning over to grab the weights and to lift them on his body and begin to lift them up. Why would someone do that? People lift weights for a purpose of what? Getting stronger. And one of the things that I probably should not watch, but we all have seen those YouTube videos of people lifting weights, and all of a sudden something bad happens. Because we know this, anytime we step out to risk, there is a possibility that that risk will go in the wrong direction. But risk is not always a bad thing. Risk also carries this powerful understanding of an opportunity. We see this, that in faith, we are called to count the cost of faith. Before we ever enter in it, Jesus makes it clear to us that we must evaluate what we're signing up for, what we are entering. But risk brings opportunity, and risk also brings possibility. We have seen the images of the gold miner, the one that is called the prospector. And we see him with that long beard and that rough look that says, there's gold up in them what? Hills. If I only go, if I only risk, maybe I'll find the gold. We know this, without prospecting, many gains would never happen. And also, risk brings about fortune, a positive gain. Risk can lead to amazing gain. And another thing, if we're willing to embrace a risk, it says in our heart that we are open for the possibilities. But if risk is not part of our willingness, then we will miss out on some of the most amazing things that God wants to give us. Another way of saying this is that risks are dangerous. When we risk, we embrace danger. And danger, in its definition, is also defined as risky. It's like this. In our lives, if we are fearful, there's many things that we miss out on. And in this bag is something I think all of us at some point have encountered. And don't take it personal, but it's called a what? A weight. And then I don't like to say it, but it's called what? A dumbbell. A dumbbell. Why? Somebody will have to give me clarity on where that came from. But when we start out and we start lifting, it is a practice of strength, isn't it? But sometimes when we look at that weight, we think, I can gain muscle, but I can also strain muscle, right? I can pick that up, but there's a whole lot of reasons I can say, don't pick that up. But if I do, what happens? I may risk an injury, but if I am faithful to lifting that weight, there is great gain that can come. I heard someone say the other day, you never get too old to not lift weights. That even moderate weightlifting has tremendous gain to our journey with aging. But we have to be willing to what? You can say it. We have to be willing to take a risk. That's some heavy stuff there. The other day I had a conversation with a man that, if I have this age wrong, forgive me. But this gentleman is over 70 years old, and he makes a weekly practice of playing tennis. And there's a whole lot of 70-year-olds that would say, the last thing on my mind is what? Playing tennis. And as I was talking to him, he was telling me, sometimes I play multiple times throughout the week. And tennis has not been stopped because of the risk of age. He has continued to play tennis. And then I saw this sparkle in his eye the other day. He says, yeah, I was at a tournament, place tournaments. And he said, there was this young guy that they pitted me against, that I had to play against. And I'm trying to remember if he was like 18 or early 20s, but he was really young. And so I was prepared to hear, wow, I was defeated. I lost, but that's not what happened. That grin and that sparkle in his eye was, and I what? I beat him. Now, I don't know about you. If you're 70 years old and you're taking out an 18-year-old in the tennis tournament, how's that going to make you feel? It's going to make you feel good. And all of you guys know who that gentleman is. Happy Ely. He's been playing tennis, and he is still willing at age 70 to get out on that court and take a risk. Because we know this, Ron, those muscles sprain a little easier as the age starts to get higher. Oh, I heard a big amen. Yeah, that's right. Chas, you went through a journey, and was that because of lifting weights or no? It was lifting weight, right? That's right, that's right. But in your mind, it was, I can handle it, right? Well, I want to talk about someone that we focus a lot in on during Christmas. And her name is Mary. And I want to look at this aspect, the dangerous life of Mary. Now, you may say, that doesn't quite fit, because every time I see Mary, it's this peaceful environment that she's in, the cows and the sheep and the wise men and, you know, this manger scene. And it's just, oh, angels. And it's just an atmosphere that brings a lot of comfort and peace to us. But I want you to think about Mary in a different way today. Mary had a very dangerous life. Mary was one of the first to ever pick up the cross of Christ. And we'll look further at that this morning. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 through 25, we focused in on this last week. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, and don't overlook this, will find it. Do we want to live this life upon this earth, embracing a life that we think is life, but it's really just pointing us to eternal death? Do we want to be fooled that what we've embraced is the ultimate of strength, when all along Jesus made it really clear, if we are going to find life, we have to be willing to die to ourselves. And see, Mary was brought to this situation early where her plans, her desires were going to have to die so that the fullness of her life would become a reality for her and for all of us here this morning. Risk all to gain all. It's basically what that scripture is saying. If we're going to be what Christ has called us to be, we must be willing to set down our lives and take up the cross that Christ sets before us. Rochelle's cross will be different from my cross. Tammy's cross will be different from Ron's cross. But the thing is, for those that seek to follow Christ, crosses are coming. And there is a demand from Christ that we must pick it up. But in what we will view as loss, the ultimate of gain comes. And if we're really honest about it, we will look at those crosses in many times, as tremendous risk. And for some, and I think all of us have had those times, we're not willing to risk what that cross is setting before us. We're not willing to walk that road of danger, riskiness, because we're holding on to ourselves more than holding on to why Christ formed us and made us. It falls into this mindset. When I see that cross, I see in my spirit either I can't pick it up, because that'll come. I can't bear it. But we know this, the strength to pick it up is not strength that we rely on in ourselves, but as we pick it up, His Spirit fills us with all the strength that is needed. So that is not uncommon when we see that cross to say, I can't. But where the danger comes in is when I say, I won't. Mary did not run from danger. Mary's faith was willing to face the danger that the announcement proclaimed to her. Mary was willing to risk all to live a life of strong faith. And let's look at the story of when the angel Gabriel appeared to her. Starting in verse 26 of Luke 1. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was, and y'all know it well, Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. Mary surrendered her dreams to honor the will of God for her life. And to touch on it a moment, think about where Mary was at this point in her life. She was engaged. She had probably since a little girl thought of what that day would be when that right man came along. And his name was Joseph. She was a woman of honor to God, a virgin. She was planning, getting ready for her wedding day. And in comes this cross that was not an easy one by any means to pick up. We see in verse 28, the word of the Lord comes to her through the angel Gabriel, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. You are chosen by God." Now think about this a minute. Here you are, and the angel Gabriel shows up. proclaims to you that you are favored by God and that you have the Lord with you. What was her response? First of all, when the weight of what comes sometimes causes us to look at the reality of what a message brings. And the thing that we focus in here is only the chosen are called to risk all for eternal strength. Here, Mary was proclaimed by the angel as a chosen, favored one of God. And this is one of the things that I think in Christianity that we miss a lot. Do we know what a miracle it is that we hunger and thirst for God? How many people do we know that have no interest in the things of God whatsoever? How many people do we know that go to church, yet all they do is become a religious person and not a person that is born again, filled with the Holy Spirit? We look back at our history, at our days, and what changed that broke us out of no thirst, no hunger for God? How did that happen? I grew up in a very religious family. And we were really, really, really good at going to church, but we knew nothing about being filled with the Holy Spirit and being born again. We just didn't know. And for some reason, God set his hand upon our family and awoke in our hearts. And I watched it as the little brother. I saw my daddy change. I saw my mama change. And then my radical teenage brother that was just starting to get in that world of rebellion, I saw him radically change. But that didn't mean I would change. But why is there a thirst and a hunger for God? And it's as simple as this. Because you are chosen by God. For many are called, but few are chosen. Find that in Matthew 22. What does that really mean? The knowledge is out there. The gospel is out there. The message is out there. It is endless, the voices that proclaim. But many are still not chosen. So this is what I ask. If we're hungry and thirsty for God, if we've been born again and we seek to grow and we seek to pick up the cross, thank God with all of your heart. Don't forget the beauty of what God has chosen you for. Don't take it for granted. For when we take it for granted, our eyes go off the cross and we begin to establish our faith in our ability. And that will take us nowhere. And then, if I am not hungry and thirsty for God, and if I am rejecting the crosses that he has set for my path, call out for mercy. May daily we call out, God, intensify my trust and my hunger, the expansion of your will and your spirit in me. Expand it. And if there's someone listening today that has no thirst, no hunger for the things of God, get on your knees and cry out for mercy. For there is no life without thirst and hunger for God. Only the chosen are called to risk all for eternal strength. See, we do not earn faith. no matter how good we feel about ourselves. Faith is a gift of mercy and grace from Almighty God. We don't earn it. For the one that says, I'm a good person, I do good unto people, that is not a path of earning faith and trust in God. That is not a path of strength to pick up the cross. We as believers in Christ must always recognize there's a narrow road that leads to eternal life. And that way, that highway that is wide, is the choice of multiple masses. And why are we on the narrow road? Mercy, a gift. The risk was an opportunity for Mary to bring honor to God. You know, I had this thought. Did Mary have a choice? I mean, I would say 100% she had a choice. When Gabriel came, Gabriel did not take away her free will. She had a choice, just like we have a choice about the crosses that God will set before us. The risk was an opportunity, again, for Mary to bring honor to God. The risk was the path that brought to Mary eternal strength. We want to be strong, right? If you go out, and Ron, I know you worked in the weight room a lot. Did they make girls work out in the weight room? Sherry, I'm looking at you. I know you were a wonderful basketball player. They did, so yeah, you know about it. Well, you're out here. You know, you're not, you know, that, Ron, I don't think you would be doing that at the Eau Claire gym, would you? No. But God has a way of starting us with what is going to grow us and not harm us. But then, by mercy and by grace, we start hearing some activity going on. I kind of like it the way it is. I don't want to change this thing. But then God was just saying, I need you to be a little stronger. And so God will put within us
more of, I don't know about y'all, I've been trying since I turned 50. I've been trying to exercise because it dawned on me. You don't use it, you're going to what? You're going to lose it. And honestly, do I feel good about exercising before I exercise? But if I exercise, what happens? I feel really good. That's better than popping some pills, right?
That's right.
Because that is medicine. But God will intensify the risk so that we get what? Stronger. That's the journey of faith. That's the walk with God. He is faithful to add to our lives strength, an opportunity to grow. So what does that mean? The crosses will change in intensity. But the faith will change in intensity as well. Eternal strength. Let's look at verse 29 now. So here we see, after this word from Gabriel came, and it was what? You're favored in what? God is with you. What is Mary's response? But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. It wasn't every day that the angel showed up. And here is this defining word, Mary, you are favored and the Lord is with you. And she began to be troubled. Fear will cause us to run from the risk of strength. Mary was like,
I'm planning the wedding. I'm on a good path. I'm living right before God, and I am focused in on getting married and starting my life. And all of a sudden, this message comes, and it brings within her concern and fear. The unknown can seed fear within us. The unseen can make us shrink back from the walk of faith that God has given us. But we know this about faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. Now, the fullness of God's plan was getting ready to be revealed to Mary, but there were still a whole lot of unknowns. Faith is never dormant. Faith that is real will continue to require a risk in our lives. Because God will not leave the weights there.
Y'all pray for me. I think I got these when I was about 18 years old. And as you can tell, I didn't use them a whole lot. More will arise. Austin has these weights at home that have a dial on it. And I dial it very, very low. But those things, I think Austin will go up to what, about 60 pounds, 50? They go up high. They go up pretty high. But Daddy keeps them low. But oof. God will add the risk so that we will gain the strength. Now, for me at my age, in my past history of being in the gym, that's heavy. But I know if I'm faithful to start out and build, I will gain strength that will be a help and not a hindrance to my life. Verse 30, and the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." A repeating of what he said earlier, but now there's contemplation. What is God doing? What is God going to want? And immediately the angel says, "Do not fear. Do not be distracted by what is coming to you. Do not fear, for you have found favor with God." And then I want to look at these aspects. The acceptance of this call could cost Mary her life. You ever think about that? What danger did Mary face by accepting this call? And I want to tell you the very number one danger that she faced. Fornicators were stoned. And we don't see that today, but in Mary's day, if you were with child and you were not married, it was not uncommon for the stones to come out and your life would be taken away. Do you think Mary had that in her spirit when the assignment was made clear? Of course she did. And not only that, she risked being rejected. Mary risked the rejection of family, friends, and others. And one of the main others there was the love of her heart, was Joseph. If she accepted this miraculous
conception, she would have to present to her fiancé, I am with child, and that child is from the Most High. How did Joseph take that to begin with? We know how he took it. He what? Wanted to run from it. Because the dangerous life wasn't just a dangerous life for Mary, it was also a dangerous life for Joseph as well. It was a cross for Joseph as well. And it took a visitation and a dream to get Joseph on the right track. But can you blame him? But faith arose in Joseph, and he faithfully accepted the cross that Christ set before him. Again, Mary risked family rejection. We've heard the stories. A young lady come home with child, and mom and dad look at that precious life and say, get out of my house. Wasn't long ago, I spoke to someone that years ago became pregnant at 17, and the invitation that she had when she came home was not, I'm with you, get out of my house. And from the age 17, she raised that baby with God's strength and God's help. So this was a risk that was coming, a reality of her choice of acceptance of this cross. And then we see this, the favor of God sets the cross before us. You see the cross? Do you see it? Do you see the cross that God has for you? Then rejoice that you have found favor with God. Rejoice that you are chosen by God. For if there is no cross, there's no favor. If there is no cross, there is no chosen assignment. Oh Lord, knowledge of you makes me seek for your crosses to come with obedience to follow. Trust in you allows me to see I want to grow. I do not want to be what? Dormant. But it's a risk. Yes, it's a risk. But it's a risk of opportunity, a risk of the highest fortune that is known to man. And that is the fullness of eternal strength that God gives us through eternal life. See, we're reminded again, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And then, for whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And it just dawned on me, maybe Mary was the first one to pick up the cross outside of Jesus. Meaning, his appearance into this world was destined for her, the only human being that gave Jesus to this earth. Now, God did, but he chose Mary to be part of that process. For Jesus was 100% God, and he was 100% man. And he was man because God chose Mary to be the deposit of that precious gift that she was willing to bear at great, great risk and great, great cost. The greatest safety in our life right now, the greatest safety that we can have in life right now is taking up our cross. It doesn't get any safer than to pick up a cross. You say, Pastor, that's like, are you contradicting yourself? No, the danger is not meant for my harm. It's meant for my strength. The greatest Loss is a rejection of the cross that Christ, or the crosses that Christ will set before us. To find it, to find true life, to embrace true eternal strength is a willingness to die to ourselves and take up the cross. And we see this. Mary did not run from this danger. How is she going to tell her father, her mother, that she is pregnant, yet she has not been married to Joseph? And we can think of all kinds of plans that mom and dad probably presented to her when they possibly did not believe what she was saying. You know, was it going to be a shotgun wedding? I don't know. But there was tremendous cost in Mary's accepting of the cross, but there was overwhelming blessing. And we know this, there is none so blessed as Mary, because she was willing to set her plans down and to pick up the plans and the purposes of God. And were they strange? Were they strange? Could she figure them out when they came fully? No. And we even see this, that Mary struggled with understanding this role throughout her life, even to the point of calling Jesus as he entered his ministry, thinking he had lost his mind. So this is something to be reminded of, is that as we carry the cross, there will be a struggle for us to lean on our own understanding throughout the journey. The main thing is, do not set the cross down. And if we set it down, please pick it back up. For the blessings that come with bearing the crosses that Christ will set before us are amazing. Mary's faith was willing to face the danger. Mary was willing to risk all to live a life of strong faith. This morning, we celebrate Advent, the second week of Advent. Last week, we lit the candle called the Hope Candle, that with all of the calamity, all of the struggle in this life, Jesus came to rise us above all of the confusion and to let us know he comes with hope to endure and to overcome everything that we face. And not only that, and I don't want to dwell on this, but I would be foolish not to mention it. These are hard, hard days. They're some of the hardest days that have ever come to our country. And the hope that 2022 will get better is not a solid reality by any means. But this is the promise from God. No matter how heavy that cross gets, God's going to give us strength to pick it up and excel through it. He is going to let that added weight that we say, take some off, God. He's going to allow that added weight to make us stronger. And this is the thing that's so cool. Don't give up. Because, be honest with you, I've set the cross down. By mercy and grace, it's your strength, God. Because you have a church that's called eternal. We need doors open for Kenny's to come in. We need doors open for families in this community to come in. We need what? Divine appointments. And I'm hurting right now. But I'm getting stronger, right?